B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. Well, you're on the clock. This is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Honestly, I don't know how we could be any more aggressive than we were for the last 5 years. You know, that provided, I'm talking about the 14 to 18 period. Even though, well, last year, I'll throw last year in there too. And last year. And so for the last 6 years, really, there's a residual to that. I would say we're always trying to be aggressive. We're always trying to improve the team in any way we can, whether that's a play, a technique, a personnel decision, whatever it is. And we evaluate every single thing that we do.
Day two, Patriots aftermath. Zulak and Bertrand here on the Sports Hub. Bill Belichick yesterday, his final regularly scheduled press conference of the season, says they've been nothing but aggressive. Aggressive, key word there. They've been very aggressive.
Very aggressive.
Aggressive with
home.
What? What are they aggressive
Hammer
with?
Home.
For agency or draft?
Here he goes again, though.
This is not
the first time we've heard this season.
Right.
Whether it was on Sirius Radio or making his case in his weekly radio. I mean, this is not news with Bill Belichick. He's saying the same thing over and over again, and he's excuse-making is what he's doing. And it's sort of sad, and it's not what he should be doing right now. From a PR perspective, it looks bad. It's never a good look when you start offering up the excuses for why you're not doing well.
I don't understand why this is payback year then. If that's the case, if he truly believes that, you know, we were so aggressive in past years going all the way back to 14, why is it affecting you now in 2020? Why is this the payback year? And you can't really say that because the one thing that really stands out is the quarterback position. It's a quarterback league, and if you evaluate your team and you go back and you look at it and you say, okay, we're going to do what's right for the football team. Is what's right for the football team letting the guy go that you never had to worry about because you didn't want to go the full tilt or whatever money he wanted? And you probably could have afforded him, and you probably could have got him one more piece. Is it really about Tom leaving? And, I mean, you grossly mismanaged that position. That position killed you this year because you still won 7 games in spite of it.
And not only
and that's the saddest part.
Like this,
maybe
this
could have got to 9.
This comment is inaccurate. They have not been aggressive in every single season that he names.
It's
have
been sporadic. To me, it's 3 big names. It was Darrell Revis. Going all the way back to 14, if you want to do that. Going to get Darrell Revis. Like, my mouth hit the floor when they went to get Revis. I thought, wow, that would never happen around here in prior years. But he got Revis. And then 9:01 a.m., a free agency, he went and signed a blockbuster deal to Stephon Gilmore. Brought him here from Buffalo.
Aggressive.
I was, like, wild that day. And the other day I remember being wild was when the Raiders collapse happened and you got Antonio Brown. Because I still thought at that time he's the best receiver in football. Those are 3 very aggressive plays. Tell me what the other aggressive plays were.
How are they aggressive this year? Since he wants to throw this year, last year, wants to throw all the years in there. Name a year they were aggressive. Greg Bedard does this. He says the selling out on offense in 2018 landed them. All their aggressiveness gave them Jordan Matthews, Philip Dorsett, Cordarrelle Patterson, Riley McCarron, Josh Gordon, and tight end Dwayne Allen. That was the aggressiveness in 2018.
He said
in 19, in going forward on offense, before the season, it was Dontrell Inman, Demaryius Thomas, Maurice Harris, and then in the tight end group, Matt Lacoste, Ben Watson, Lance Kendricks, and Steven Anderson. As he writes, a fantasy owner's dream team.
Oh, stop.
He says, Antonio Brown and Mohamed Sanu came during the season, but by that time, it was way too late for things to work. And I think that was part of Brady's frustration, was the reason they were in the spot of needing Antonio Brown and needing Mohamed Sanu was because they had such poor planning at the position for the 2 previous years. They had nothing.
And you let the tight end hang out to dry. That wasn't really a retirement. You know it. I know it. I keep talking about it. He never had a retirement press conference. That guy just wanted to take time off from football until the CBD cured his concussions, and then he was ready to go again. Like, you let that happen. You never managed that position. So you were behind the 8 ball there. Like, you had to go get Antonio Brown. You had to go get Mohamed Sanu. but it's, I think maybe part of this too is last year. It might be last year. You know, like, we tried to go help Tom. Like, we tried to get Antonio. We tried to get Mohamed Sanu. He got hurt. Yeah, because you put him on a punt return. Like, and here we are. I think last year, I think it's about, a lot of football is about the now, right? What just happened? Last year happened like that. Neither one of those guys worked out. And that looks, to him, that's aggressive. That is aggressive, going to get those two guys.
Right. I mean, there have been.
Other than that, it's not the drafts. I mean, is it really Sony Michel or, you know, N'Keal Harry, Chase Winovich, Jake Bailey? I mean, those are good, solid young players, but that's not being aggressive. Aggressive is doing what you did with Dante Hightower and Chandler Jones, and you're moving around and you're getting those two guys in the first round. That's an aggressive draft right there. That's nailing it. Or jockeying around to try and get Mayo where you wanted to get him at, you know? That's being aggressive. I'm confused on the aggressive part of it. And why aggressive is now in play here based on the way your season went.
Well, I think that the most fair column on this, Tommy Curran has a great one at NBC Sports Boston. He says there is no straight line correlation between selling out and aggressiveness in the last half of the decade and the fact that the Patriots trotted out the slowest offense in the NFL every single week this year. And he gives them a lot of credit for all their moves over the last 5 to 6 years in this column he wrote today, talking about many of the aggressive moves that we mentioned, Zoe, but also saying they also worked hard to find good reclamation projects. Deion Lewis, Jamie Collins, Danny Shelton, Patrick Chung coming back from the Eagles, to finding guys in the draft down the board like David Andrews or Malcolm Butler. And he gives them all that credit for finding those guys and for signing Gilmore and for going out and getting even smaller pieces like Rex Burkhead or Brandon LaFell. He says, but it's not Jabal Sheard's fault that N'Keal Harry can't play. And Stephon Gilmore is not to blame for the swings and misses on Cyrus Jones, Jordan Richards, Dominique Easley, and Duke Dawson.
Oh.
Those are where some of the things went wrong for the Patriots in recent years. They would undoubtedly be in a better position right now,
draft. That is draft.
If their last three picks were not N'Keal Harry, Isaiah Wynn, and Sony Michel. And I think Isaiah Wynn can play, so I don't know that I'd really put him in the group. And I think Michel can play, but I'm sorry, I wouldn't have spent the draft capital on Sony Michel. No. He's not a game changer. He's
they
good
took back. Him at a chub. They took him at a chub, didn't they?
Yeah.
Oh.
He doesn't change the game. And so those are the last three first rounders. N'Keal Harry, Isaiah Wynn, Sony Michel. Do you feel like those guys have turned a team around or the type of guys that can change a team? They're not.
No, but
even when
you get
a good tackle and win, and you know, he's had plenty of injuries, but they're just not. And the draft never comes up in this conversation because you heard in that clip the residual part, right? Yeah, there's a residual there. He's talking about resetting the salary cap, which if we wanted to use his previous words against him, we could, but I think it's unfair. Because to just use a blanket statement of the salary cap can be maneuvered. Of course it can be maneuvered. You can maneuver it year after year after year. And sometimes you do have to clean the thing out. But I'm not going to use that against him. But that's what he wants to refer to. He wants to make this out to be some sort of salary cap problem. And that ain't the issue. Not the issue at all.
Who signed the players to those deals? If he truly believes that. Did he know this problem would arise at some point then? Like, you're the one that gave the contracts.
Yeah, he's in charge of that, too.
And I know Brady's dead money's on there, but like, is this a quarterback thing without saying it?
Like, what, $13 million? That's going to...
I don't know. Is this like
hamstring the team to the point where they look the way they looked this year?
Like, he doesn't want to refer to the tight end and the quarterback. Like, I think those two key positions, I think Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady have killed this team over the last 2 years.
You know, Gronkowski, think it irritates him?
I think it irritates him, sure. I think the tight end left them hanging. And it didn't allow them to get into free agency. And I think he regrets that, letting him control that situation instead of getting an answer. Did they really think Brady was going to come back, maybe?
I don't know.
At a lower number, and that there wouldn't be a market?
If they were going to think he was going to come back, they probably should have offered him a contract. That would have been the first step in that. Usually that's the first thing you do. You say, hey, we'd like to offer you a contract.
Yeah.
We'd like for you to keep working here. I don't think that ever happened.
Right, right.
And I don't think he was looking for them to call anyway. So no. It didn't really matter. But I just think this entire thing that he's been preaching now all year long about how aggressive they've been and how they sold out, it's excuse-making and it's not even accurate. And it's a bad look. He doesn't have to say this. He could say, listen, we're in a bad spot. We're not where we want to be. We're going to work to get out of this spot and be a much better team next year. We're going to fix it.
We're going to fix
it. End of story. It ends right there.
Yeah, I don't know why he revisited this again.
Why does he keep bringing this up? Stop bringing this up. It's not good, because then we have to go back and look at the track record and tell you that you're not being entirely accurate in this right. statement, that there was a big sellout. 617-779-0985.
I mean, this is like the first time he could be indicating that he's hearing it. You know, it's always been about ignore the noise. You know, don't pay attention to anything that's going on outside the building. I think he's starting to hear it a little bit. He doesn't like it.
He's hearing it all year. Yeah. He's hearing it all year. That's why he's been doing all these
interviews. Defensive.
Very defensive this year.
Yeah.
He doesn't like losing, and that's what makes him great. He hates losing, but this is not the way to go. Don't go excuse-making route. We don't need that.
I'm with you. I would rather hear more about what's ahead of us and how we're going to fix it.
More on Cranky Bill coming up. And you say maybe he's irritated by the tight end and quarterback in Tampa, which begs the question. Do we need Brady to make it to the Super Bowl now? Is that what we're looking for? To goose Bill Belichick?
Oh, that would be bad. That'd be bad.
Let's talk about it. The best and worst possible matchup from an New England perspective for the Super Bowl. Who are we rooting for in this thing? Starting the tournament begins this weekend. Who do we need to root for?
And your former quarterback is in the primetime game.
He is.
Saturday.
Same as it ever was. Saturday, primetime. Tom Brady playing playoff football.
You know what I'll be doing?
Watching it.
Yep.
We'll get to that
crying
next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is why you do the show. You take chances. You give takes. Sometimes they blow up in your face. You look like a complete idiot. We've all been there.
The pie in your face.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the snap. Brady looking, flushed, looking. Throws a ball wide open receiver. It's caught by Antonio Brown. Brown will score a touchdown, Tampa Bay. Touchdown, Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
More of that this weekend. Brady in primetime, Saturday night. So you think that maybe this is all irritating Bill Belichick, too, the fact that Brady and Gronkowski are in the playoffs with a much better team.
Well, you don't live. I mean, he does have horse blinders, does Bill. And Bill could, you know, close things down and concentrate and do what he wants to do, but you're human, man. You don't live under a rock. Here's the best thing, too. I mean, say they do go to the Super Bowl, Tampa.
Yeah.
You know, there's none of those get-togethers like there were last year where he and Matt Patricia are running around down South Beach going to Gronkowski's beach party. And, like, he doesn't want to do that this year. He doesn't want to go to the city of Tampa where his quarterback is. What he should be more pissed off about, what should really get him going, is the waxing the Buffalo Bills put on you on Monday night. That should be the one that really lights the fire under his ass to do anything this offseason is, you know, you got to win your division first. It's always been about the division. And Buffalo right now looks like they're light years ahead of you.
Oh, okay. Let me give you a scenario then. It's Buffalo-Tampa in the Super Bowl.
All right. So if you want to do the 1-2 punch, I suppose maybe that would
I'm just saying.
Worse, but no, Zoe's.
You're right, Zoe. I mean, you're not wrong.
No,
you know, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying, all right.
It's about Buffalo. If you are looking at this, you know, academically and objectively, who cares what they're doing in Tampa in the NFC? Right. It's got nothing to do with you, but it's hard not to look at it, isn't it?
Until Tampa beats the team that waxed you to get to the Super Bowl. What if Tampa waxes Buffalo? Like, what does that say? You know? What if Mike Evans can't play that much because of his hyperextended knee and Antonio Brown ends up being a game breaker for them as they get this thing cranked up in the playoffs? Like, that's another one. It's another guy you had.
Not Antonio Brown, you can't factor that in, though. That sociopath. That's sociopath.
Hardy, I disagree. I think that's part of the aggressiveness when he talks about it. Like, you know, we were aggressive. We tried to get him, and then we had to cut him.
So who's he mad at about that?
I don't think he wanted to cut him.
I would say if he's mad about anything there, he should be more mad about the quarterback demanding that they get him. That's what I would say.
Demanding that they get who?
Antonio Brown last year.
The quarterback was sort of out of it.
Yeah, debatable.
You know, you remember the stories where Kraft went to him, hey, we're going to get into what? You serious?
Yeah, and when, what did we say at the time? We don't believe it. Like,
I mean, that's that's a Bill Mayock type move there, man, to me.
So maybe he's got nobody to blame but himself then.
Yeah, and I think that's part of that. I think it falls under the same umbrella. All of the moves.
So that would be something that Bill Belichick paints himself in his own mind as a victim in the Antonio Brown signing.
Right. And with Antonio Brown, I think he was released before he was suspended. Now, it turns out he wasn't suspended until July of 2020. And that stemmed from the arrest that didn't take place until January. But I think the NFL was kind of looking and waiting for something, and had that arrest with the moving company not taking place like a year ago this month, they may have found reason to suspend him before any of that. I mean, he was a time bomb.
Right.
But he's fixed now.
Amazing that Bill would paint himself as a victim in all of that.
Well,
I was wrong.
He's probably kicking himself for not getting him on the phone with Tony Robbins. Apparently, that's all it took.
That's all it took to change everything for him. But I think a Bucks-Bills Super Bowl, you could say he's got horse blinders. Oh, I think we should root for it. I do. And not that I want to see that as a football fan. I don't think that would be the best matchup or the best game necessarily. But I think it could result in the best outcome for this team.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he's immune to that. I don't think he's immune to being pissed off or being motivated by the success of others or being jealous of somebody else. Those are all good things right now for the Patriots and for Bill Belichick to have going on.
So, Beto, let me ask you, if he were so inspired or enraged or whatever, motivated by a Bills-Bucks Super Bowl, how would that manifest? What would he do? What would you want him to do with that emotion?
Free agency opens and he's spending money.
On what?
Free agency opens and he's going after Chris Godwin. He's going after a tight end. Like, what's his name from the Chargers? He's going after significant real names in free agency to start the offseason.
Don't you have
That's
to
what he's doing.
You have to start with a quarterback, though.
Well, maybe not. If your plan is to, you know, acquire talent and then figure out the quarterback between
I think it makes
trade
Jimmy more
slash draft, right?
If that bugs him, and if it's really about Brady and Buffalo, and you're going to come back and go at it somehow, you get the quarterback you thought was going to replace him. You go back and you get Jimmy. It even gives you more credence to go out there and get Jimmy Garoppolo.
You get Jimmy, or you get Stafford. You get an established. You get a guy you know can play.
I'm just talking from a chronological standpoint, Hardy. The free agency will open before maybe the quarterback thing is figured out.
I'm wondering,
but
he may not.
He may have a plan.
Okay,
and I agree with you.
Okay,
that you have to have the quarterback, or all the other stuff is sort of pointless.
That's my only point. Like, I only want it to manifest in getting a quarterback in here. And if they were to get receivers, tight ends, get a home wrecker, all the things that collectively the three of us have said we wanted for me, it's still about the quarterback. Don't tell me you're going to get those things. You're going to be aggressive once again in free agency and then say, this Stidham kid, he's ready. No. That's not going to do it. And if you're willing to ride it out for a couple more years, because that's the other way this could go. You know, you look at what happens regardless of who makes it from the NFC. If Buffalo is that good and they make it that far and they somehow, get past Kansas City, then it might have the reverse effect. You might say, you know what? We just need too much. Isn't nothing going to happen in a year? You can't beat that team next year.
That's why I think Zoe is probably right in saying Buffalo matters more. Because that's like from a realistic standpoint. That team's in your division. They're not going anywhere. You got to play them twice a year. And if they're good enough to be in the Super Bowl after kicking your ass in December, Well, you better prepare for that team being around. Like, that's not just, you know, and for us, mentally, the Bills have never been a real threat in the last two decades. So we have to sort of recalibrate and view them as a potential rival, like the Colts were for a time, or the Ravens were for a time, or the Steelers were for some time. Like, you've got to sort of put them in a different group now.
Like, this was all just, what, last January, right? I mean, this last year feels like it's been, like, 3 years. So it was just last January, the Super Bowl. That was in Miami. We did Radio Row, and it was Super Bowl Sunday, and they rolled out the NFL Top 100, right? Didn't Bill take the field with Brady and Gronkowski with the red jackets on?
Yeah, and he joined that Brady on that NFL Network thing, that special they did last year.
I went back and watched that the other day, and I'm like, how could these two not finish together? The way they talked about football.
But I'm with you, Beetle. The Bills matter more. The Bucks hurt more. You look at what's going on with whether you want to include Antonio Brown in that mix or not.
He's wishing for Bucks to get popped first.
Just that, Brady, Gronkowski, almost beside the point of how much he's actually contributed, but he has contributed down there. He's been a factor at times.
And by the way, that
hurts more, but the Bills matter more.
You know, and he's obviously hearing it. And he will continue to hear it if Brady continues to excel and they go on a deep playoff run.
Yes.
But the other part is maybe he doesn't even need it, and maybe he's already pissed off enough. You know, we went through those comments yesterday from Rodney Harrison. In Rodney Harrison's opinion, Bill Belichick is embarrassed that this is an embarrassment. The quote was, "This puts a fire up under him," speaking about Belichick. All this embarrassment, it's not just players, it's the coaches too. They don't like having people laugh at you. Plus, Bill knew he was going to take it under the chin this year, but he's going to have some leverage to go out and get better players. So in the mind of Rodney Harrison, he thinks Bill is embarrassed and thinking that everyone's laughing at me and they don't think I'm any good, which is great.
Really,
it's a great spot
chin?
For him to be in for all of us.
I mean, other than two games, did they really take it on the chin by anybody this year?
Well, I think season on the whole.
Why would he think that they would take it under the chin? Okay, so you bring in a quarterback for 1 year that can't throw, that ends up being team captain like the other guy was team captain for the last 18 years. And it was like diabolical. I'm going to coach his team up, and I'm going to show you we can win with this guy as opposed to the other guy. I don't think they took it on the chin like people think they took it on the chin.
Maybe he means from a talent perspective, because it's all in that same sentence.
Right, yeah, you just know you're not a contender. You know, first year, you're not a contender.
That might be what he's referring to, the level of talent on the roster, because he says it in the same breath as being able to go out and get better players. So maybe that's part of it. But it still looks bad, and people are still talking about Bill Belichick, about how Bill Belichick is, you know, nothing without Brady. There are a lot of people jumping to that conclusion already, which is, I think, absurd. But it's being said, and he's obviously hearing things, and he has responded to this criticism about this season by saying it's all about the team having been aggressive, that all his aggressiveness is what has caused the team to look the way it looked this year. Kevin's in Worcester today. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I wanted to get your opinion on the realistic possibility of getting Matthew Stafford this season. And if so, we do land him. Do you think he could resurrect N'Keal Harry's career?
No, I don't think any quarterback would resurrect N'Keal Harry's career. I don't think a quarterback can change what he is. Realistically, it's a long shot. It's unlikely to happen. If you want to be realistic about it, I'd put the odds at 5%, 10%, somewhere in that range.
I think Stafford's a long shot.
Highly unlikely that it happens. It would be great. We're all in favor of it, but I think it's going
to
happen.
Yeah, Detroit's got to – whoever's going to be the coach there has to come to terms with, okay, we're ready to move on and go get a young guy and develop it, and we're going to reset too. Like, Stafford's a turnkey thing there. Now, you already got that franchise quarterback. You want to keep that.
The outrage over the Philadelphia game the other night is only growing by the hour.
Ugh. Oh, my God.
We got to get to that. We got to get to that story, because it continues to become a bigger and bigger story. And there is now a call for punishment. Punishment for the Eagles. I'll tell you about that coming up next. Hardy has our headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Mike.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
To me, you don't ever want to disrespect those players and their effort and disrespect the game. The sacrifices that they made to come into work every day and test before coming in, to sit in meetings spaced out, to wear masks, to have shields over those masks, to go through extensive protocols, to travel in unconventional ways, to get text messages at 6:30 in the morning telling practice is going to be canceled, we have to do a virtual day, okay, to tell them, please don't have your family over for Thanksgiving. Please avoid Christmas gatherings. We know it's your wife's birthday. Let's make sure we put that one off to the off season. There's a number of sacrifices that have been made by all the players and coaches in this league. There's a number of sacrifices that come along as well with the family members and the people connected to them. To disrespect the effort that everyone put forward to make this season a success for the National Football League, to disrespect the game by going out there and not competing for 60 minutes and doing everything you can to help those players win, we will never do that as long as I'm the head coach of the New York Giants.
Well, that's reassuring, knowing that as long as Joe Judge is the coach of the Giants, which could be like, you know, 2 years, he'll never let that happen to the New York Giants. He'll never do that. He's got way more integrity than that. He'd never let that happen on his watch.
I thought he was good. The natural reaction is win more games than you're in, right? Win another game, and you don't even have to worry about this. But he's right. It's been a terrible year for these guys, what they've had to deal with. Because we've handled it well, and then they go and they pull their damn quarterback for down
three.
That
was all true regardless of what the Eagles did on Sunday night.
I agree, but I do think Joe Judge is right here. I think he spoke well on it right there.
Well,
defending his players.
I just don't think he doesn't have to invoke COVID to explain why it is that what the Eagles did was bullcrap on Sunday night. That's why it's overkill. Like, oh, those guys, well, they don't show up to play and win the games? Well, my team does. That's what my team's all about. That's what Bill Belichick's teams have been about. That's why on Sunday they played to beat the New York Jets. It would have helped their draft position if they lost. Bill Belichick doesn't believe in that. The great ones don't believe in that crap. Unless, you know, maybe it's we're already in the playoffs, and if we throw the game today and Matt Cassel throws it into the seventh row, we can get a better matchup. But for the most part, they believe in showing up and playing the game. And the Eagles didn't want to do that on Sunday night. They wanted to show up, and the coach wanted to throw the game. But you know what? Like, you know what I would say? First of all, you got no right to bitch about not being in the playoffs. You were 6-10. So you don't get to complain. Stop. You don't get to complain about that. You're a bad football team. You're not good. That division should be disqualified from the playoffs. There should be like a you have to be 500 to get in.
Yes,
6-10.
Or else we add extra wild card teams.
You know, off like that discussion.
You've got to be at least 8-8.
Off that discussion yesterday, where how bad that double digit loss looks at 6-10. Like 6-10 right there just sounds awful. But yet, only one game behind you.
But here's the thing with the Eagles. That's going to come back to bite everybody involved. Like, Doug Peterson's going to pay a price for that. He is. He's going to be remembered for having done that, for having pulled his quarterback. His team sucks. His players probably look at him like, what the hell are we doing? Did you hear Travis Kelce earlier in the year?
Yeah. Play to win.
Talking about why we show up and we do it every day?
Yeah.
And I'd be willing to bet that a lot of players do hear what Joe Judge said.
Jason Kelce.
Sorry. I said Travis.
Travis.
Yeah, his brother. Jason Kelce, obviously. Yes. So I bet there are players that feel the same way that Jason Kelce feels. There are players that hear Joe Judge on the Eagles roster and say, yep, that guy's right. That guy's absolutely right. I can't believe that our coach did what he did. I mean, we played the sound yesterday of Jalen Hurts, and you heard what he said. Like, he took a hard pass on answering that question. Like, yeah, you just got to trust coach. Does he sound happy with that?
No, but like Tom Pelissero put out that tweet. It was like 2 hours before kickoff, and he said, yeah, Sudfeld will be in at some point instead of Jalen Hurts. Like, that was going to be two of the things. There were two points that Peterson wanted to make throughout the course of that game, and one was playing Sudfeld. So, like, it was told to the room. And
yeah,
I think
but Jalen Hurts probably still thinks it's a joke no matter when it was told to him. It was told to him 3 weeks ago. He would.
But you also, throughout the course of a game, if it's close, you reserve the right to change your mind. It's great and all to say, if we're getting our ass kicked by 20, I'm going to put Sudfeld in.
Right. It's different when you have a three-point game and you pull your quarterback. And don't tell me that Jalen Hurts, after getting an opportunity now at the end of the year, is not looking at his coach like, what is this guy's deal? What a jackass. What are we doing? What the hell's the point of all this?
Right.
So he will pay a price in his own locker room and with his own players. He will. And he'll pay a price because he's now going to have this on his resume. That he honestly does not care about winning games when he's out of it. Doesn't care even a little bit. He has no self-pride. He has no respect for himself or the guys on his roster to play the game the way it should be played. None. So that will hurt him. Like, there's reputational damage that happens to Doug Peterson because of this. He looks like a jackass. In addition to that, there's now the call for the punishment. Dan Shaughnessy writes, remember Deflategate? Patriots lost their first-round pick, a fourth-rounder, and got fined $1 million. And Tom Brady got suspended 4 games for letting a little air out of the footballs. The Patriots were punished for breaching the integrity of the game. Tampering with the football was deemed a competition violation. He said this was much worse. Much worse, and that the Philadelphia Eagles should be punished by the NFL.
Why, because you put the backup in?
Any shot this happens?
No, because then the Patriots would have been fined for the Super Bowl for not playing Malcolm Butler. They're putting Jordan Richards out there. Jordan Richards is Sudfeld to me. That's what that is. I think that one was worse. That game meant a hell of a lot more as opposed to a team that's 4-9-1. They're not going to fine them. For what? Playing another player? It'd be different if you intentionally threw a pick six. Like, hey, I'm going to fumble this ball. Yeah.
That they threw a game.
Yeah. On a crappy team where you barely won anything all year. Oh, you played the. Who's to say he was the wrong quarterback anyway? I mean, what difference does it make? We know that they weren't trying to necessarily play to win the game, but so what? The games that they were trying to play to win, they didn't win those either. So
which does make what Doug Peterson did worse. Like, Doug, you could just as easily win the game by playing everybody still. What the hell makes you think Jalen Hurts was going to win the game?
Right.
What makes you think he was going to win it playing everyone he had played all season long?
That's my point. We're saying the same thing. Like, just keep playing the guys that are out there. Yeah. Play your starters. You guys have sucked all year. You'll probably lose tonight, too. What's the difference?
No clue.
Like, what are you doing? Just keep playing Jalen Hurts.
He
could just as easily lose the game as Sudafed could.
Well,
like, just as easily.
If you really wanted to argue it, if you were Peterson really wanted to argue it, I would say, oh, no. The reason why I put the third stringer in is because that was going to give us the best chance to win. Have you seen what we've been able to do? Not much. Let's try someone else.
I'm just tired of the losing, man. Just going to keep making changes until something works.
The worst part of all this is the fact that the Cowboys lost and they had to get on a plane and go back. Like, we're talking about the Giants in Philadelphia here, about being suckbags in that awful division. Cowboys are worse than them. Everything that they do, the amount of money that they spend, their investment in players, you know, $14 million running back, the amount of people at the skill position, they can't find a way to get to 7 wins. That's what's more pathetic than those two teams. So it could be Jerry today, looking at that. Like, yeah, they're all laughing at them, but we're worse than them. So what the hell are we?
You're worse than these clown teams.
Yeah.
It's just, I still go back to the notion that, like, that what the Giants really wanted was a crack at it. You know, they really wanted to be in the playoffs, and that's why they're so pissed off. Why? Why would you want to go to the playoffs? You can be embarrassed in the first round, get bounced, and prove that you had no business being there like we all thought. Like, many people think the Redskins don't have any business being there either. Like, that's how you've been wronged. That's the most unjust thing that's ever happened to you.
Who do you think is the best team in that division, though, out of the Giants and Washington? Who's a better team?
Like you said, the division should be removed from postseason consideration. Not one of those teams belongs in the postseason. None of them are good enough. Which one sucks a little bit less than the other one sucks? The Giants probably suck a little bit less, or at least toward the end of the season.
Yeah.
No, toward the end of the season, it was Washington. They had gone on the run.
All right, let's get to that because Washington plays Tampa Bay.
Where's that game? That game's in Washington, right?
At Washington.
Unbelievable.
Saturday night, 8:15. Saturday primetime game. Will Crappy Washington field. Get embarrassed by Tom Brady? And the rest of the schedule for the weekend. In wild card weekend, which now features three games on Saturday and three games on Sunday. And we'll get to your calls next as well. Hang tight.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is how the pros.
That's great. Thank you, Beef. You're proud of yourself.
Do Sports Talk Radio.
Your microphone is down. Hey, Marconi.
Just hit the button.
Turn the mic up.
I'm just,
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Schedule for the weekend. Saturday, 105 start. The seventh seeded Colts are visiting Buffalo. That is like the worst slot of the weekend.
Yeah.
In the 4:40 window, it is the NFC game with the Rams at Seahawks. Feels like it should be decent. The Saturday night game is Tampa Bay at Washington. That's at 8:15. Zoe's going to be ready to go for that one.
I'll be ready for that one.
That's the highlight of his weekend. You going to do Chinese food? What do you think?
Oh, we might do Chinese for them. Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Could be a good spot for it.
Oh, man.
Get the fire going. I know you're big on the fire.
I love the fire. Yeah, I got to stack some wood. Get some wood chopped up. Stack it in there. Let's go.
Get the fire going.
Yep.
Sunday.
Have a hottie toddy.
Sunday is Ravens-Titans at 1 o'clock.
Ooh, that could be a dogfight.
Could be. Bears-Saints at 4:40.
This is great. Football all weekend.
I feel like that game is going to be the one that I lose interest in quickly.
The Bears?
The Bears.
Yeah. Yeah, because of Trubisky. Why? Absolutely.
Why are we watching the Bears?
I'm
how
not,
do they get in?
I'm not.
How do they get
like,
in?
You don't have to watch that game.
I'm not watching the Bears Saints. If something interesting is happening in that game, I will be alerted by one or more of you on our text chain. I'll turn it on.
You know what? Like the Saints don't do it for me either. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the Taysom Hill thing or all that, but like same old Saints. Like I love watching Green Bay. I love watching Kansas City.
Well, they have the weekend off.
Yep.
The Sunday night game is Cleveland at Pittsburgh.
That's humdinger.
8:15 That's a good
one.
Start.
Ooh, that's a good one. Two night caps. Those are perfect.
That's regular Sunday night football now. Wild card weekend. Do you like it?
I love it. I love these games. Three games in one day. Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, I just wish it started a little earlier.
Starts at 1 o'clock. What time you want to start? 11?
No. I mean, like, I just wish that we could skip the Bears game. You know, maybe do like some sort of computer simulation.
That would be nice.
And get right to the Pittsburgh Browns game at like 5 o'clock, if that would be okay with everybody.
I was talking to my brother-in-law. They live out in Chicago, obviously, yeah. And they're just like everybody's rooting for the Bears to lose.
Why?
Because they know if they win, they're going to have to sign Mitch Trubisky. Do you want Mitch Trubisky to get $60 million guaranteed? $60 to $80 million guaranteed.
Wait, so if he wins one playoff game, they have to sign him?
He's up, and there's talk of them re-upping him, man, out there. Geez. And it's just like, that's what are you going to do? You go on a run here. You win two playoff games. What are you going to do? You got to sign the quarterback, the young one.
What idiots.
Yeah.
What absolute idiots.
Root against your team to lose so they can get rid of the quarterback.
It's too bad that the Colts-Buffalo game is at 1 o'clock on a Saturday, because I think that could be one of the better games.
That should be the 4 o'clock Sunday game.
Should be a good game.
Yeah.
So, in ranking the games, that Chicago Bears-Saints one goes right to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
And they're going to put that game on Nickelodeon, by the way, in case you're wondering.
What?
A kids broadcast.
No.
Of that. Yes.
In addition to the other broadcast.
Yeah, not, it's not the only broadcast.
Oh, okay.
But Jesus. There will be a... a Nickelodeon NFL broadcast.
What, you got little Sosies running around doing the game?
I don't know.
Oh,
I have
kid
no
reporters?
Idea.
Little kids like, in suits and ties?
Like SpongeBob will be on it. It'll be like SpongeBob and the NFL meet.
Let's throw it down to Patrick on the sideline.
All right.
Yeah. So it's going to be, in case you're wondering. It's going to be called, I just looked it up, Nate Burleson and Noah Eagle. Noah Eagle, who is the son.
Who the hell's Noah Eagle?
Ian Eagle.
What?
Ian Eagle's son will be a part of the broadcast.
Huh.
How old is he?
You said little Sosies? No, little Eagles.
Little Eagles.
He's old, though.
Who?
Ian Eagle's son.
Well, yeah, he's a
he's like out of college.
Yeah, he's a grown man.
He's a man?
How old is Ian Eagle?
Oh, God, he's 70?
What?
No.
No way. I would not have thought.
He's got to be 60.
He's 51. I just looked it up.
I'm older than Ian Eagle.
You're older than Ian Eagle.
Jesus.
I would have guessed that. I didn't think he was that old.
Oh, okay.
Noah Eagle turned, he was 23 years old in this article I'm reading from April of last year. So Noah's 23, Dad's 51 or whatever you just
said. Yeah, that makes sense. All right. You're older than Ian Eagle. So there you go, Zoe. You think what you thought was a 60-year-old man, you're older
yes.
than him.
Yeah.
So which of your kids would you put on a Nickelodeon broadcast of a football game?
Oh, Birdie. Brilliant. Yeah, second.
Brilliant. You know what I realized last
Sideline?
Weekend?
Yep.
Did you guys hear Tom Brady doing an impression of Gronk?
Oh, my God, it was great. It was actually really, really freaking good.
Do you know who it sounded?
It sounded like Zoe doing Brody.
Not that bad. Not like that. But that's like so good. Like, what was it? Like, Gronkowski was at it. He had a GQ cover shoot, and he wasn't ripped up enough. And Brady said he thought that by working out with me for an hour and a half was going to get him ripped up.
Yeah, so he threw him like...
That's what I needed. That was awesome.
Yeah, man. I'm ripped now. But yeah, his impersonation of Rob Gronkowski really makes Gronkowski sound like he's hearing impaired. Yeah, thank you. I'm ripped now.
<It's> kind of it.
Exactly what I needed.
Oh, man. Dave in Weymouth on Doug Peterson. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Happy New Year. I think a lot of the anger over Peterson is that it was so blatant, because I think normally when you're trying to throw a game, you start your backups and you say, yeah, we want to see what we got. But if you're playing the we want to see what we have card, you have a quarterback you drafted in the second round. It's a one-score game on national television. Don't you want to see what you have in Jalen Hurts in that situation? So I don't think his argument flies.
Yeah, none of it flies. You're right.
No.
Because you're still learning about what Jalen Hurts is.
Right.
You still don't even know.
That's where you would want him in the game. Like, let's find out about him right here. Down right. three. With
you're
the ball.
Wasting an opportunity.
Yeah.
Like a legitimate opportunity in addition to it. Peterson just looks, he just looks ridiculous on this. And
Who knows Jeffrey Lurie on all this? Yeah.
I just believe in karma, and I believe that people pay a price for that when they do things like that. Like, they suffer some reputational harm there. Their players will start looking at them weird.
Look at your
veterans.
I think
Doug Peterson is already on thin ice there. You know, going into next year with veterans on his roster,
yeah.
Doug Peterson could end up paying the ultimate price there because he acted like an idiot on Sunday night. No, his explanation was nonsensical after the game. It defied all logic.
I guess I still have an issue with this because it is... you know, unique to the quarterback position. We're talking about the quarterback and the quarterback that he put into the game, where we just got through a season where we saw a quarterback get started in New England week after week after week when it was apparent that it was not the best thing to go out there and win football games. You know, after you lose to the Broncos at home, what do? Start him again. Okay, what happens against the 49ers? That's a game you should win. Looks even worse. What do? We got Buffalo. We got to go to Buffalo. What do? Start him again. I'm like, I don't want us to be hypocritical here of Doug Peterson by saying he made the wrong move at quarterback in a meaningless game for his team. When what? I got to worry about the Giants now? Why is that my job? When we just saw it happen here. We saw it week after week after week. And the only explanation we ever got was he's our quarterback. We've actually got a couple on the roster there. Like, what just happened here this season?
I don't understand the parallel between the two.
People are killing Doug Peterson because he played the wrong quarterback.
It's because he pulled his quarterback, his starting quarterback, out of a game without any real reason other than it appeared he wanted to make sure he lost the game.
Okay, well, what's the explanation for playing Cam Newton week after week after week unless you wanted to lose those games?
Well, you don't have a better option, which is a coaching decision.
Well,
which is you look at it and say, yeah, you know, this guy hasn't played well, but he's worked his ass off, and he still represents our best option.
One is a very specific example of a game where it's a one-score game and you got a chance when you make a seemingly nonsensical change at quarterback. The other one is in the macro, where week after week you seem to be making a nonsensical decision to start a quarterback. I think one is just as egregious as the other.
Yeah, I think what Doug Peterson did is far worse. I have a hard time drawing the line between those.
Well, if Jared Stidham is still on this team next year, then no. I do not believe what he did was worse. If Stidham's gone and he just can't play and it turns out that he is not ready to be an NFL quarterback for this team or any other team, fine. But if he's still around and he seems like at least an option at quarterback, then no. Yeah, the team was done a disservice here for several weeks out of this past season by not at least taking a look and seeing what he could do to go out there and win a couple more games, just a couple more games, get to 9-7.
Yeah.
Have you guys been watching the Celtics or what?
I watched a little bit last night, yeah.
All right, let's touch on the Celtics and Jason Tatum's last couple of games as well. We'll do that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.